Praise the Lord. Go to our first slide, please. Hopefully, you guys got it. And it takes a team to do ministry. You find that on the front cover of the church bulletin. And the verse at the bottom is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. We are the body of Christ, and it takes all of us to do ministry. Now, the sad part is that some people just kind of stray away and don't get to be a part. Well, they miss out. Ministry still happens, but people miss out on that. So I want to encourage us. I want us to be encouraged this month. And the focus is team. It takes a team to do ministry. It takes all of us to do ministry. And each one of you have a part to play in this team, on this team. And so I wanted to encourage you with that. God called all of us here to be a part of this church, to be a part of the body of Christ. I have no idea how long ago that he called you into the family, that he caused you to see the truth. The truth set you free, and you became a believer in Jesus Christ. And bam, right in that moment, in that second, you became a part of the family of God, the best family, the greatest family ever. Amen? I've heard of many stories of people not wanting to go to family reunions because of all the hectic things that happen at a family reunion. I hope you don't look at it like that when it's time to come to church. That's like a reunion. You know, we have it several times a week, and we just come together, and we're the family of God. And God has given you and I an opportunity to be a part of his team, to be a part on his team. Now, I'm not going to ask you this question, because I don't want to rehash any past hurts or whatever. But if that was you, I hope and pray the Holy Spirit helps you and has helped you to move on and become more confident in yourself. But if there is someone in this room that when you can remember back in gym class, you weren't chosen. You weren't picked. Nobody wanted you on the team. Nobody wanted me on their baseball team. I stunk. So I wasn't good at hitting the ball, maybe catching it, but you know, never in the infield, so I just wasn't a baseball player. Those you can remember, dodgeball, somebody was the captain, they never looked at your way. You know, hopefully the Holy Spirit has helped you to instill some confidence in yourself, but know this, God wants you on his team. He wants you on his team. He wants you to be involved in ministry. He wants you to get involved. And so if you're not, if you're praying, keep praying. Lord, what do you want me to do? There's a website that if you ask us later on, if you go on HTAG News, hey, what's that website? And it's a spiritual gift test. And you can, when you type in your email, if you want us to get your results, that's fine. You can go ahead and add one of the pastor's emails on there. That way we can get the results of it too, and we'll meet with you on that. But, we all have a gift. We all have a part to play in that, and God has given us those gifts. My next slide. We all have to understand this. Team Jesus. Team Jesus, undefeated. Undefeated. No matter how bad and how gloom your situation is right now, Team Jesus always wins. Undefeated. Okay? And so he wants you to be on that team. This team requires something important from each of us. From each team member, this team requires something important. You see, each person has to understand that there's unity. And together with the Spirit of God who brings us together in unity. See, he's the one that says, ah, 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 keep your mouth shut. Ah, 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 you have a bad attitude. Ah, 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 go back to Matthew chapter 5, read the Beatitudes. You need to establish every single one of those attitudes in your life. Ah, ah, ah. Don't pass that gossip. Let it die with you. Let that gossip die with you. Don't be passing it on. And so the Holy Spirit, he will teach us. He leads us in all truth, but he'll teach us how to be, how to play together and be on the same team and come together. In John chapter 16, verse 7, 7 through 15, I'm going to read that real quick. But Jesus, he says about somebody he calls the helper and how the helper is going to reveal something to us. How the helper, who's the Holy Spirit, and he gives them this other title, and how he's going to take of what is Jesus and give it to us. So starting in verse 7 of John 16, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage, to your benefit. It profits you greatly, profits me greatly," Jesus says, "that I go away. For if I do not go away, man, I can't send you something. I can't send him to you, the helper. He will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and see, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them right now. I can't tell you everything. I'm just going to tell you a little bit." Starting in verse 13, it says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth," talking about Holy Spirit, our helper, "when he has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." He's a team player. "Holy Spirit will share things, and he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." He's not going to hold anything back. He will reveal it to you, the things that you need to learn, the things that you need to know, the things that you need to apply, the things you need to walk in. He'll reveal that to you. Holy Spirit will do that. Then verse 15, it says, "All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare," or announce, proclaim it to you. Father, we thank you for your word today. Allow it to speak to us. Allow it to change us, Lord. Thank you, God, that you are calling us to be on your team, a winning team, in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone say win. Yes, even the Trinity, even the Holy Spirit, one-third part of the Trinity, knows how to work as a team. The Father has something, the Son has something, and the Holy Spirit has, and he will not speak of the things of himself. He will speak what the Father wants you to hear and know, and he will take of what is Jesus and announce it, declare it, report it, show it, tell it, allow you to see it. Come on, somebody. How many of you want the Holy Spirit to show you things? Yes. In your family, the people that are hurting, and what you need to do to help heal those wounds. Where you go shopping, where you work, the person that's clocking in front of you, they're going through some stuff. And if you would say, "Holy Spirit, God, help me to see what I cannot see. Help me to see what you see is going on in this person's life." And the Holy Spirit might reveal some things to you, what to say or what to do for them. It's just being a part of the team. So even Holy Spirit, he shows us how he's working in unison, in unity with God the Father and God the Son. And he's the Holy Spirit. My next slide. So we're focusing today, as Pastor Shannon mentioned, training and teaching. We're gonna talk about next week about encourage and edify. She read a verse with that word edify. It's a building word. It's building blocks. It's to build each other. It's to build this church, not so that this church has a great name, but that this church would have Jesus all over it. Amen. And then we're gonna talk about how you and I need to be accountable. There's actions that need to take place on you being accountable and me being accountable. And then the last one is minister and ministry. How each of us need to see ourselves as ministers. You have a message. The message saved you, hopefully. And if the message saved you, you have a message and you need to minister that message to the world, to your part of the world, and get involved in ministry. So we as a team, it takes a team to do ministry. And so Jesus, I'm going to read a couple of verses. Some of them I'm going to read the verses. Others I'm just going to touch on. And so if you're taking notes, you'll be able to write those verses down. But let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Jesus calls his disciples. And it's a great thing that he calls these people. And when I read these verses, just don't miss out on what Jesus says, because it's simple. It's to the point. He doesn't beat around the bush. He doesn't hide anything. You know, there's no small print, you know, when you buy certain things and there's a small print or whatever. You know, if you buy something online, it might say, you know, batteries not included. It might say you have to assemble it yourself, you know. I dislike how these stores do, where you want to buy a weed eater or an edger, and, you know, you don't want to deal with all the gas and you have to crank it all the time. You just want to put the battery on there and just go, you know, go to town. When you buy these tools, I've spoken to a salesperson at Lowe's, and he says, yeah, a lot of people bring them back because they think there's the battery and the charger, and there's no, it's just, it says tool only. And the box says tool only. It just doesn't say that really, you know, really big. So, but Jesus, when he's calling his disciples, there's nothing that he's hiding. It's just simple and to the truth. So Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them. It says he called them here in Matthew chapter 4. Well, what did he say? Probably said the exact same thing, what he said to Simon, to Peter and Andrew. It says he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. What did he say? Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. What did he tell the other brothers? Follow me, and probably said the same thing. I'll make you fishers of men. And they immediately left. How many of you would immediately leave Camden County if the Lord told you to go and go somewhere and I'll make you fishers of men in some other state, in some other country? Well, I don't know about that. I got to put my house up for sale, and well, I don't know. I got kids in school, and well, I don't know. I got things going on here. It says immediately. And all he said was something simple. Follow me. Follow me. I want to share a little illustration of some young men that, come on, Grizzlies, come on up. Silas, I would have Silas up here, but he's doing nursery. And I just wanted to just give you guys a picture. These guys, Ezra and Noah, they were on this basketball team. And yeah, stand in the middle there, coach. All right, so, well, they didn't do so well this past season, but if you talk to them, they loved playing together. They loved being on the same team, and they actually had a good coach, you know. And the other coach, you know, was sitting over there, and so, you know, but the coach helped them train, helped them get ready, gave them plays. And I wanted to just show you that they had several plays, might have just, you know, just only one play. Get the ball in the hoop. That was the only, I mean, you know, there is a purpose. There's an end goal to win the game, but to make points. But they had certain places of where they had to stay, where they had to go to, and the plays that they had to run, and who was, you know, rebounding, who was going to be on the other side to get the quick pass for an easy layup. They all had those plays, and the coach kind of organized them. I'm not sure how often they listened, but the coach and the leader actually had a plan. The plan was let's play together. The plan is let's play hard. Let's enjoy what we're doing. Let's have fun, but let's play hard. Okay. So I wanted to show you guys this great team and how they really enjoyed playing. And I'm thankful that they had an opportunity to do that. So thank you guys. So I don't know if Hidden Treasures will ever have, you know, sports shirts or anything like that, you know, team shirts. But every team needs a leader, a coach, and a trainer. And God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are our coach. They are our leader. They are our teachers. They are the ones that have the plan. They're the ones that know us in and out. And one of the things that, I mean, that the coach had to do, he had to have and set up an organized practice. Now, see, we have church services and we facilitate church services. And thankfully, a lot of times we don't have to facilitate Bible studies, but there's Bible studies going on that the pastors don't have to facilitate. They're already happening without us even having to mention anything. Thankful for that. I pray that there'll be more Bible studies, more meetings of two or three or four, you know, people getting together to study the Word, to pray together, whether you meet here at the church or whether you meet somewhere. I pray that that'll happen more and more. But one of the things that the coach had to organize was practices so that he could see their strengths and weaknesses. it would not be wise. Now, it would not be wise to, what was the young kid who was the shortest on the team? Forgot his name. Amari. It would not be wise for the coach to put him as center. In the beginning, the jump ball, he would never reach the ball because the other team had a taller person. That would not be wise. That was not a, that was a weakness of that young kid. But there was some strengths in him. So for the coach to be able to see the strengths and weaknesses, and I'm telling you, God sees right through you and sees your strengths and weaknesses. He wants to improve your strengths, and he wants to work on your weaknesses. If you allow him, if you allow the Holy Spirit who leads you in truth, who's here to help you, who's here to comfort you, who's here to announce, declare, proclaim the things that are of Jesus. I'm not sure about you, but everything that Jesus has and he wants to give me, I want to receive. I want it. I want to hear it. I want to see it. I want to know it. And the Holy Spirit will reveal that to us if we allow our leader, our coach, and our trainer to teach us and to train us. You see, because he looks at the whole team and he knows them. He knows you personally. He knows you intimately. And there's a purpose in his teaching. There's a purpose in his training if you will submit yourself to that training. Some of you probably have had in the past a trainer, maybe a dietitian, someone that told you what to eat and how to, and you're like, I am not giving up bacon. And you just totally just went against what the dietitian or what your doctor said. I am not giving that up. Well, that wasn't really wise of you, but that was what you wanted to do. See, the Father will tell us certain things to get rid of, certain things to do, and there's a purpose and there's a reason for that. So when Jesus called these disciples and he called these men to follow him, he knew what their issues were. He knew what their strengths were and what their weaknesses were, but yet he called them nonetheless. Now, I wanted to share with you, I have some jerseys here. I have a Mexican soccer jersey. I think this was from 2006 World Cup jersey. It's not authentic because I'm not paying that much of a price. And this is a Chicago Bears jersey of Brian Urlacher. And then I have a Chicago Bulls jersey here that I have on. But this is the thing. I'm a fan. I'm not on the team. I would never be able to make it on the team. I'd like to get their salary, but I would never be able to make it on the team. I don't know the coach intimately. Okay? Many times, many years, the coaches change. They swap. Even the players, new players, old players are sent to other teams. I don't even know their plans, their strategy. I might do the Monday quarterback thing and point out all the wrong things the Bears did and the Bulls, what they did. Oh, they traded so-and-so. How dumb. I mean, Monday quarterback those things and just be so critical of their decision. I have no idea what their plans are. I have no idea what their strategy is. Sadly, many Christians in church play the same role. They say they're a part of the team. They might have Christian t-shirts. They may have a Bible, but they're not a part of the team. They're not a part of the team because they're not placing themselves, making themselves available to be a part of the team. Well, I know who's the pastor of that church. Well, you can know the pastor of that church, but are you a part of the team? Well, I think my name's on the member list, or I think, I know a couple people, and they might have come once or twice. We have, over the years, we've heard that, oh, yeah, so-and-so and so-and-so said they're members of Hidden Treasures. Who are they? I don't know. They're not a part of the team. But sadly, so many people consider themselves Christians, and they're not on Team Jesus. And I pray that we would see ourselves as vital players, a part of his team, and that God wants us on the team. Now, this is not what God intended. God did not intend people to just come and fill a seat and then just leave and not take to heart the training and the teaching, not take to heart to encourage another brother or sister and edify and lift somebody up, not to make disciples, not to be discipled by somebody. And that's not what God intended. God didn't intend for us to look at church and look at Christianity as just being a fan. Win or lose, I'm a fan. but I don't play on the team. I can't even get into the clubhouse. I can't even get onto the turf. If I did, they'd snatch me up and arrest me. Like those crazy people that run on the field, that would be me, and I'd get arrested. I'm not on the team, even though I'm a fan. In John chapter 1, verse 43, Jesus even calls this other fellow, and his name is Philip. Starting in verse 43 of John 1, it says, "The following day Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.'" Again, simple, to the point. Follow me. "Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses in the law.'" I'm hearing in my head that Philip is so loud and so boisterous and so excited. "We found him. We found the one of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote about. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael probably said, "Who?" It says, Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see. Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite, indeed in whom is no deceit." You see, Jesus knows you. He knows your strengths and he knows your weaknesses. He knows you intimately. And he says, "Look, here comes this dude from, behold, an Israelite. There's no deceit in him." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." He's the God who sees. "I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the tree, you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most surely I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, more and more I'm getting to the point where, you know, I'm not in it for the miracles. I'm not in it to see, I mean, that would be great. But I just want to be involved in what God is wanting to do in me, what God is wanting to do in this church, what God is wanting to do in your life. All of the extras that people would be, you know, what some people would call the hoopla or whatever. All of that is gravy, but I just want Jesus, and I want to be where he wants me to be, like we were singing today. So Jesus calls Philip, and then what I want you to catch, Jesus didn't call Nathanael. So how did Nathanael find out? Because Philip said, "Man, we found him, we found him." Found who? The one that Moses and the prophets were talking about. Jesus of Nazareth. Who? Jesus of Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Come and see. Matthew chapter 9, verses 9, Jesus calls, and if you'll go to my next slide, I think it's slide 4. There's a couple of pictures here. Follow me. Jesus finds some guys at the boat. And then he finds, you know, some guys mending their nets. And then he finds at the bottom, Jesus sees Matthew, the tax collector. Matthew chapter 9, Jesus passed on from there. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." What did he do? So he arose and followed him. While he was at work, Jesus says, "Follow me." Immediately he left and just, "Bye. Where are you going? See ya." And that was it. And he followed him. Doesn't matter where you're at. You could be working at, you know, fishing. You could be at work. Jesus called and they followed. Jesus had his own draft. Those of you that know sports, individuals are picked by coaches and certain team, a group of people from that team. They pick different people: baseball, football, basketball, hockey. Each person is picked. Jesus had his own draft, and he chose men to invite to make disciples, and he still invites you and I to make disciples. Matthew chapter 28. You'll find in verse 18 and 20, it's the Great Commission. It's the Great Commission for you and I to go and make disciples. We're already supposed to be disciples if Jesus is our Savior. You see, each player on God's team must commit to be on His team and to train and to learn how to live and become like Jesus. You and I are always in school. I've said this before. School is always in session. And some of you are like, I'm tired of school. I haven't been in school in years. Well, you're missing it out because you are in school. You just don't know it. It's spiritual ministry school. And some of you, you're like, if you can remember, those of you that are older, you are the one that's in the corner with that dunce cap because you refuse to be obedient to what God and the Holy Spirit is saying to you, but you are in spiritual ministry school. And you could say you're not, and I'm going to tell you, you are. You're just in the corner, and, you know, I mean, anybody ever get put in the corner? Your face, you know, the teacher would say, look in the corner. Turn around, look in the corner. And you're kind of like, yeah, you look at everybody, turn around. You are in spiritual ministry school, and God is giving you and I the opportunity to know and how to apply His truth because we are on His team. I remember as a coach, I was coaching Josiah's little soccer team, and there was a girl that I had to keep telling to stop playing with the little dirt daubers, the little small pieces of dirt. They would irrigate the field. And when they would bring out the little small pieces of dirt, she would just go and start grabbing them and squishing them or throwing them. And I would tell her to stop. The ball is in play. The game is going on, and she's over here playing with dirt. There are people in the church, they're playing with the dirt. They're not playing. And of course, at that age, with soccer, wherever the ball is, everybody's following. It's like swarms. It's like bees. Wherever the ball is going, that's where everybody's going. It's a funny thing if you ever get a chance to watch that. But while the ball is over there and all the team players are following the ball, kicking the ball, here's this little girl playing with dirt. Are you playing with dirt? Quit playing with the dirt. Get involved. And allow the Holy Spirit to train you and to teach you what you and I need to do. What did Jesus say when He called His disciples? He said, come follow Me. And all they had to do, first of all, is come follow. They were able to ask questions. We find in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now it came to pass as He was praying in a certain place when He ceased that one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught His disciples. So He said to them, when you pray, say, and then He taught them the Lord's Prayer. Listen, I'm not sure how many of you need to work on your prayer schedule or more training in your prayer time, your prayer life, where it needs to be. I'm not sure if it's down here and it needs to be here. I'm not sure if it's right here, but it needs to be here. None of us will get to perfection in our prayer life here on earth. If you just think of some really holy person, they'll tell you that they're not perfect. They haven't attained and reached perfection yet. We won't until we get into the kingdom of God. But if you were to ask them, they would tell you, I am pursuing the heart of God. I want to be a child of the Most High God. I want to follow and seek His heart. I am daily in interceding. I am daily praying with Him. I'm in my prayer closet every day. They might say that, but they won't say they're perfect. You see, this is one area of responsibility that every team member should take seriously. Because we are going to the coach. We are going to our leader. We are going to our trainer and say, help me. What do I need to do? Teach me to pray. Teach me to be tenderhearted. Teach me to keep my mouth shut because every time I say something, it's rude. Touch my heart. Lord, search my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me. God, I'm always critical. God, I'm always saying something that I regret. Lord, teach me. Lord, put a guard before my mouth. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in Your sight. Oh, Lord, my Redeemer. And if we would allow our coach, if we would allow our leader to teach us, it's okay for you to ask questions. But here, prayer is asking God, the how, the what, the when, the where. Do I need to know? Where do I need to be? What do I need to do? Prayer is speaking God's word over my life, God's word over my children's lives, God's word over other people's children's lives. How will any player know what to do if he or she doesn't ask? Yo, coach, am I in the right place?
Yo, coach, what do I do when they're doing this and they're running that play? What do I do? Hey, coach, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to, you know, stay here? Do you want me to go? You want to play defense? What do you want me? If you don't ask the coach, you won't know what to do. And you won't be in the right place where he wants you to be. It's so important that we understand that prayer is such an important aspect because it's us asking him. It's us drawing closer to him. It's us having communion with him. And one of the great things is in Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, you see, Jesus, he calls them to follow him. We find in Luke chapter 9, he calls his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Our goal up there, or our not vision, but our purpose statement, if you will, Luke 4, 18 and 19. I was sharing this early this morning in new membership class. There are still people who are poor that they need to hear the gospel. There are still people who need deliverance. There are still people who are oppressed. There are still people who are brokenhearted. There are still people who are blind spiritually and physically, and people need to know that Jesus saves. So when Jesus called them, he sent them. And they went. They came back. They are excited. Then in verse 10, it says, interesting, verse 10, because in verse 1 it says, then he called his 12 disciples together, gave them power, and then sent them. Verse 10, it says, and the apostles means delegate, one sent forth with orders, one who is an ambassador of the gospel, one who is officially a commissioner of Christ, one that is sent. It says, and the apostles, when they had returned, told him all that they had done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. There were so many people that wanted more of Jesus. That's a good thing. They wanted more of Jesus. They crowded them, and Jesus had to continue to teach. And then all of a sudden, later in those verses, you'll find that one of them said, hey, Jesus, it's getting pretty late. Let's go ahead and send them away so they can go ahead and get something to eat. Let's send them. It's getting late. Then Jesus says, why don't you feed them? You see, the whole point that we're a team, and there's a coach and a leader and a trainer, and that's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and he wants to train us and teach us and help us to understand that we get to be a part of this team, and he wants us to be on the team, and he wants to train us, and he wants to train you because he wants to send you. And where he sends you, he wants you, whenever you come back, he still wants to use you. Again, it takes a team. It takes a team to do ministry. And the great thing here was that Jesus had these 12 disciples, and he says, why don't you feed them? He gives them the opportunity to do what he's been doing, feeding the people spiritually. He says, now why don't you feed them? Another thing about that passage, I'm not going to get into much, but the fact that all they had was a small lunch, a couple of loaves of bread and a couple of fish. And then what happened? After everyone ate, it says, and when they all ate, how many basketfuls were there? 12. How many disciples were there? Each one had a full basket. It's a great thing about ministry is that we get to be on his team, and he wants to use us on his team. And he wants to send us. You and I have to train. We have to learn what our role is on this team. We have to prepare so that we can be sent out when it's time for him to send us out. We train together, we grow together, we learn together, we do ministry together because it takes a team. My last slide. I pray that you will get ready. Are you ready to go? Will you get ready to be sent out whenever that time might be? Sent out for what? Well, look at Luke 9, verses 1 and 2. Look at John 3:16. Look at Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the Great Commission. Look at Luke 4, 18 and 19. That's your answer, what for? Because there's a ministry, there's a work that needs to be done. There are people who are lost. There are people who need deliverance. There are people who are oppressed. And you can't say you're on the team, but you want other people to do what you're supposed to be doing. We're all supposed to be doing something. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we thank you. God, what a privilege it is, God. What a privilege that you give us, God, to be a part of your team. That you want us on the team, God. Regardless of our batting average, can we dribble a ball, let alone shoot a ball? God, you want us to be on your team. Because we have a message to share. That message saved us. That message, this truth that set us free from all the junk and the filth we used to be a part of. And God, we can be living epistles written and seen of men that people would see the glorious things that you're doing in us. Help us to see that being a part of your team is what you want. And you're going to train us and you're going to equip us so that you can send us. We thank you, Father, for this team. Thank you, Father, for the people that are in this room. Thank you, Father, for the people that couldn't make it tonight who want to be on this team. By your Holy Spirit, we are going to grow together. By your Holy Spirit, we are going to train together. We are going to learn together. We are going to grow together so that we can do ministry together for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Is anyone that needs...